spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of
deadpan.
The thrill of
deadpan palooza.
And the agony of
podcast taint.
The human drama of
deadpan community.
This is ABC's Wide World of
Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. You feel that? Yes, that's right. After a long detour through Palooza Land, we're back to a standard issue, straight up deadpan podcast episode. This is actually a little bit of a lull before the storm because the next one is going to start up Duel of the Fates Part 3. There'll be more on that later, though. I'm your host for Deadpan, Jack Mangan, aka a cutting-edge, leading, social, interactive, new media, technical web 2.0, marketing tools, high-tech, savvy, monetizing strategist, designer, expert, blogger, guru, speaker, writer, entrepreneur, critic, consultant, professional. Want to say thanks again to my main man, Kurt, for that excellent intro from the Wide World of Sports. Y'all are some creative motherfuckers. So I have a confession. This is Deadpan number 144, and I'd contemplated ending Deadpan at number 144. I'm actually not kidding. There was a time when I thought that I would just stop the whole thing. Probably somewhere around the early hundreds, actually. I was mulling ending Deadpan around number 144 so that people could look at Deadpan throughout its history and kind of and go and see that it stopped at 144 and say, Jack Mangan's Deadpan is gross. But we can't stop here because we have plans for the future. We have plans for August, so to speak. So with no further intro babble ado, let's get on with the content that we have for this episode here right now. And I have more babbling to do later.
Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. The second it stops, you run. Just run!
So, Tabs, this was a great idea. You and I writing short stories for each other's podcasts.
It is a great idea, PG. But I wouldn't exactly call your story short.
Point taken. And I just want to say, for the record, that your story for my Tales of the Children podcast is just wonderful. Captured the feel of my fantasy setting just perfect.
Oh, thank you, PG.
Of course, we did have to remove Spike.
It wasn't really Spike.
Uh-huh. Vampire, bad poet, blonde hair, pines for an avatar of the child of love named Duffy.
Okay, maybe it was Spike.
So, Tabs, you want me to record my story for you? I have time.
No, got it all covered. Full voice cast and everything.
What about the main character? I can voice him if you want. After all, I patterned him after me.
He's European, not Southern.
How about the narrator? Certainly I'd be good for that.
PG, I have an entire studio at my disposal. You need to concentrate on the tales of children and my story.
But no one else has ever podcast one of my stories before.
Let it go, PG. Let it go.
Stories of Wolfram and Hart is a short story podcast anthology set within the Angel Between the Lines podcast. Visit angelbetweenthelines.com for more information on this podcast and return on November 16th, 2009 to download P.G. Holyfield's long short story, Exit Strategy.
Find out more about Tales of the Children and P.G. Holyfield's upcoming debut novel, Murder at Abaddon Hill, over at pgholyfield.com. And then on November 18th, 2009, at 9:30 Eastern Time, join P.G. over at stickam.com/P.G. Holyfield for the live video recording of my short story, Love Sacrificial Song.
How about...
No.
I could...
No.
Hand out flyers?
That's my boyfriend. No.
She's deadpan, wrapped in plastic.
This is CJ, and I was going to change purses, so I thought I'd do a contents of my purse. This should be long and boring. That's trash. There's a piece of trash in my purse. I'll do this as fast as I can. There's my alarm clock. That's my alarm clock. Okay. One Revlon lipstick. And... coffee chrome. One doctor business card for a cardiovascular doctor for my grandmother. One e.l.f. lipstick and lip plumper in mauve berry. A true cherry chapstick, brand chapstick. Another lipstick by Revlon. This one is gold shimmer. It's gold. A Star Trek communicator badge pin, a pair of red dangly earrings, and a pair of black dangly earrings. Another doctor business card. An orange crayon, a green crayon, a red crayon, my camera case, a receipt from Slumber Party's party I went to where I bought some stuff.
Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. All this has happened before and will happen again.
So I don't remember when it was. It was probably sometime around 1985 or 86. I was watching an interview with Huey Lewis about the use of his song, The Power of Love, in the film Back to the Future, which came out in 1985. And he made the comment, when asked about the song, he said something like, I'm paraphrasing because it's been about 25 years. He said, you know, I don't write songs for movies. So I just kind of went with, you know, a song that I had that was the most appropriate for the movie. Okay. But then the movie came out, Back to the Future came out, which is a movie about time travel. And there was another Huey Lewis song in that film. And that song was called Back in Time. Now, Huey Lewis said that he doesn't like to write songs for movies, but yet here's a song called Back in Time. And he said that he gave him Power of Love because it was the one that fit the movie the best, but if he just happened to have a song called Back in Time lying around and they approached him to supply a song for the Back to the Future soundtrack, then wouldn't that have been the most appropriate? Not some Power of Love, kind of keyboard cheesy rock, almost ballad? So which is it, Huey Lewis? If you don't really like to write songs for movies, as you claimed in that interview, then what happened with Back in Time? We need to know the truth. In fact, we deserve to know the truth of what you really meant when you lied to that interviewer. And while you're at it, maybe you can explain something that I saw very recently. I actually sat through Pineapple Express all the way to the end. Now, that's not the shocking and amazing part. At the end, there's, over the closing credits, yep, that's your voice, singing a song called, well, I don't know if what the name of the song was. I didn't actually check. But the refrain in the chorus was Pineapple Express. You were belting it out over and over again in your husky Huey Lewis voice. So what's the news, Huey? What's the deal? The lying needs to stop after all this time. You need to come clean and tell us the truth. I'm sorry, I can't go on any further.
Deadpan. All this has happened before and will happen again.
Just a sec here. I'm moving this chair. Wow. Insert breaking, smashing chaos noises here.
Oh, no. Wheelix are all broken.
Well, I'll just put them back in order.
I don't know which ones are which.
I know. I'll ask the deadpan. Alright, kids, that's right. We're going to do the Broken Lyrics Challenge. Now, last week, I believe the guess that was correct on the board, first up, was Vanimond. And he was correct that song number one was indeed the Violent Femmes with I Hate the TV. Song number two was Loverboy with The Kid Is Hot Tonight. And song number three was Green Day with Sweet Children. Now all I have to do is figure out how to explain that I have Loverboy on my iPod. Okay, well, up this week, we've got three new lyric sets for you to work out what song and artist they come from. Here we go. Number one. Reflect on me. I'll be the scene that blows up the sky, honey. And number two. Pour the poison in my ear. Kill, 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 kill me now. And number three. The king is long dead, long dead, long dead. Dead, long, dead, long. All right, one more time, real quick. First one. Reflect on me. I'll be the scene that blows up the sky, honey. Number two. Pour the poison in my ear. Kill, 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 kill me now. And number three. The king is long dead, long dead, long dead, dead long, dead long. Well, did you figure them all out? Go to the comments page for this episode and show off. Deadpan is the motherfucking way. Bed music for this segment is Mysterious Mirror by Porchcat, found at ccmixter.org. And now back to your regularly scheduled Deadpan.
Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast, The Fresh Maker.
Why, sure! Why, climb sure. In!
Johnny Null says, CJ, I too sent a birthday email, but I tried to be creepy. John Bowe says, as long as he had a parachute. Or a bungee. Maybe it was a bungee and he'll come screaming back, ellipsis. Ed from Texas says, Texas recently went to seven-letter license plates. But that part of the site is down for maintenance this morning, so I can't check if a custom plate can be ordered with seven letters. Cthulhu may be able to ride in Texas, smiley face. Retro says, also, any song that features a 30-second clip of farm animals in the throes of orgasm is made of win, smiley face. Not the Bunny says, blech, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. Black! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. Frowny face. Crying face, crying face, crying face. And the first comment of the week was Amy Bowen, who says, wow, this episode is up early. In parentheses, I'm posting at 10:56 p.m. my time. In brackets, Pacific. Close parentheses.
Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. Providing the public option since 2006.
Deadpan, do you want to come back to my place, Bouncy Bouncy? I am no longer infected.
In Soviet Russia, the Deadpan downloads you.
So, do you think for Yoda's last birthdays, his family lit 800 candles on a cake and sang, to you, birthday happy? What if Yoda was also dyslexic? Do you think Yoda uses that creepy Darth Vader tree for storage when he's not training a student? Like that's where he keeps like his hedge trimmers? Do you think Yoda even notices when his toilet on Dagobah overflows? Do you think Yoda would have preferred to just die in peace without having some punk Jedi acolyte badgering him with questions during his final moments? Wouldn't Yoda have quadrupled his credibility if he'd grown in a mustache and goatee? Forget earmuffs. Does Yoda's species wear ear socks in winter? What is Yoda, like 20 inches tall? How the hell could you throw a pitch into his strike zone? And if he didn't use any force powers, who'd win in one-on-one basketball? Yoda versus Mini-Me. Do you think Luke Skywalker still has the ghosts of Yoda, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Anakin hanging around him, even after the Empire is destroyed? You know, dispensing advice, wisdom, and encouragement as he goes through his day-to-day activities? You know, like while he's building that extra room in the house, during uncomfortable bowel movements, while he's clipping nose hairs, helping the kids with algebra homework, negotiating with Jawas for droids, having sex with Mara Jade? What would happen if he called the Ghostbusters on them?
A box of methylprednisone, which is generic cortisone pills. A Hello Kitty cleansing hand wipe bubblegum scent packet. My wallet with all my credit cards and driver's license. A coupon for $1 off cleaning products. A Walmart receipt for goggles. And a plastic tote bin. A mini Rice Krispie treat, a coupon for Tylenol cold, a coupon for Krusty's pancake mix, a shopping list from the deadpan thing. No, it's not. It's a shopping list. It says bread, jelly, plates, bagels, cream cheese, and hot dogs. A lipstick from Buxom Lips. If it, I can't read, it's too dark. I can't tell you what color it is. It's a lip plumping glitter lipstick. A business card from the Slumber Parties lady. A receipt from, I have no idea, someplace on 401 South Mill Avenue where my server's name was Mike. And it was $48.66. No idea where that was from.
Deadpan! Use it to get back at your absent father and domineering mother at Thanksgiving dinner.
And so it was right around this point last night that I was editing the show when I realized that Farpoint Media had actually changed the login credentials and that there was a pretty good chance that there was going to be a snafu when I tried out the new ones, and sure enough there were. And that's not an indictment on any of the work that they did. They actually, it was a good thing that they did. But it ended up with a slight technical mishap here around Deadpan. However, the show is only delayed for one day. And if you're listening to this far into the future, you know, like around the year, like 2074, then you won't have any idea that the show was released a day late. Or that it was half completed. Because actually, the rest of the elements are going to be saved for Deadpan number 145. So this one is living up to its name by being gross. Deadpan number 144 is gross. Three last bits of information for you, and then we're going to play a song and get the hell out of here. First, as you should know, I'm doing Kegel exercises right now. The next thing that you need to know is that we've actually started a unique idea for Duel of the Fates 3, which we did not do for either of the previous tournaments, is that you have the opportunity to be part of each of the players' teams. There are 8 players, and you can join up with any one of them. And there will only be 3 people allowed on each of the players' teams. So send me an email, sphericaljackm@gmail.com, if you want to be on one of the Duel of the Fates players' teams. And the 3 supporters of the winning, the player who wins the, you know, the, whatever, the animated, the character who wins the whole tournament, those 3 people will get prizes. I posted something online last night, and you're now hearing about it at Deadpan. If you want, go and check at www.jackmangan.com, and you can read a little bit more about it. The characters, again, are Ming from Flash Gordon, Flash Gordon from Flash Gordon, Rorschach from The Watchmen, Otto from Repo Man, and Jessica Rabbit from Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Bugs Bunny from the Warner Brothers cartoons, Buzz Lightyear from Toy Story, and Bilbo Baggins from The Hobbit. Those are the eight characters. I already have two people who signed up for Buzz Lightyear's team, so if you better hurry and get me an email if you want to join Buzz Lightyear's team. And we have one for Rorschach so far. The deadline is actually coming up very soon. Deadpan number 145 is going to contain the rest of the elements that were supposed to appear here on number 144. And it's also going to have the very first duel, which will be Ming versus Flash Gordon. And actually, that's going to be the deadline to sign up for a team. So certainly get me... Sorry, I needed to sigh. Certainly get me an email and tell me whose team you would like to support. Was all that confusing? I'll explain it better in an email if you're interested in playing along. And that will actually be incentive for you if you want to send in your 12-second intangible ideas. Which is actually another thing you'll need to do. If you have a 12-second intangible as to why Ming or Flash Gordon should win that battle, then do get it to me. Get it to me by Wednesday of next week, which would be November, what, 20... I don't know. Mouse click while I look it up. This is riveting audio here. November 18th. All right. The other thing you need to know is that on Saturday, November... Oh, crap, I just closed the calendar. I should know this by heart by now anyway. November 14th. Saturday, November 14th, I will be playing a performance at PodCamp AZ. It'll be, the showtime will be about 2:30. I'll actually be talking to Deadpan and Love, Long, and Prosper's own Dan Thaw and CJ. I'll be talking to them live at about sometime after 2, and then doing a set that will range about 40 minutes. Again, that'll be about anywhere between 2 and 2:30 Arizona time. You can tune in on the web and watch it at the Ustream. I would recommend checking out podcampaz.org, and I'll try to get some information at jackmangan.com, the Deadpan site, about watching the live show on the web if you're able. Or, of course, if you're in Arizona, then you're more than welcome to come down and watch the show live. There you go. That's the news. I have babbled for about five, almost 6 minutes here, and I'm going to stop babbling. I want to say thank you all for enduring this hiccup. Where we had I think the Palooza ran a little bit too long, so future Paloozas will not stretch over 4 episodes. We'll take measures to keep that from going on and on for months. But the Palooza was still fun, and it's led to Duel of the Fates, which will only be portions of upcoming episodes, so your content is still more than welcome. It's encouraged. The email address, again, is sphericaljackm@gmail.com. Or the voicemail line is 206-350-TOMI, 206-350-8664. Send in the contents of your purse, as CJ has done, or the contents of your fridge. Tell us dumbass memories or favorite song lyrics, whatever you would like to do. On that note, I'm going to play some music and get the hell out of here. And hopefully I'll see you, or you'll see, or hopefully we'll communicate in some way on November 14th, and I encourage you to play along with Duel of the Fates. Send me an email and join up for one of the teams. Oh, and you know, a lot of the stuff has been scripted already. Your 12-second intangibles might make a difference in the standings and in the turnout. They actually can affect things, but in general, you know, I'm not going to be swayed by who's on what team. I'm going to be fair in weighing the attributes. And also, while there can only be 3 people per player's team, not every player needs to have anyone as a supporter. They can be lone wolves, so to speak. All right. The babble meter has definitely gone too far now. I'm going to play a song and get out of here. Deadpan is the way. Thank you for being a wonderful community of friends. Thank you for putting our comment numbers up in the 600-800 range for each episode. Yeah, that's it. I have nothing more to say. Hopefully my wit will be fully restored next week too. Deadpan out.